Praise the Lord. Message number 210. The title of the message, Evangelism, Part 6. One of the ways that the Lord had opened to us as His church to spread His word and to evangelize and to spread the message of our Lord Jesus Christ, the salvation of God, is through the gift of healing, through the miracles that God would do in the life of the people that He is calling us to evangelize, and He is calling them to believe in Him. We will read a scripture from the Old Testament. Let's go to the book of 2 Chronicles and chapter 5, and let's read verse 1 to verse 27. It will speak about one of the miracles the Lord did, healing miracle that He did through His servant Elisha. And we will learn, we will conclude the good things from the word of God and from the message, from this scripture and text, so we can apply in our daily effort to evangelize and reaching the lost with the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let's read now. Now Naaman was commander of the army of the king of Aram. He was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded, because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. Now bands from Aram had gone out and had taken captive a young girl from Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." Naaman went to his master and told him what the girl from Israel had said. "By all means go," the king of Aram replied. "I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So Naaman left, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of clothing. The letter that he took to the king of Israel read, "With this letter I am sending my servant Naaman to you, so that you may cure him of his leprosy." As soon as the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his robe and said, "Am I God? Can I kill and bring back to life? Why does this fellow send someone to me to be cured of his leprosy? See how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me." When Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his robes, he sent him this message, "Why have you torn your robes? Have the man come to me, and he will know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a message to say to him, "Go, wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be cleansed." But Naaman went away angry and said, "I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the spot and cure me of my leprosy. Are not Abana and Farfar, the rivers of Damascus, better than any of the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed?" So he turned and went off in rage. Naaman's servant went to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do some great things, would you not have done it? How much more then when he tells you, wash and be cleansed?" So he went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times, as the man of God had told him, and his flesh was restored and became clean like that of a young boy. Then Naaman and all his attendants went back to the man of God. He stood before him and said, "Now I know that there is no God in all the world except in Israel. Please accept now a gift from your servant. The prophet answered, as surely as the Lord lives, whom I serve, I will not accept a thing. And even though Naaman urged him, he refused. If you will not, said Naaman, please let me, your servant, be given as much earth as a pair of mules can carry, for your servant will never again make burnt offerings and sacrifices to any other god but the Lord. But may the Lord forgive your servant for this one thing. When my master enters the temple of Rimmon to bow down, and he is leaning on my arm, and I bow there also, when I bow down in the temple of Rimmon, may the Lord forgive your servant for this. Go in peace, Elisha said. After Naaman had traveled some distance, Gehazi, the servant of Elijah, the man of God, said to himself, My master was too easy on Naaman, this Aramean, by not accepting from him what he brought. As surely as the Lord lives, I will run after him and get something from him. So Gehazi hurried after Naaman. When Naaman saw him running toward him, he got down from the chariot to meet him. Is everything all right? He asked. Everything is all right, Gehazi answered. My master sent me to say, two young men from the company of the prophets have just come to me from the hill country of Ephraim. Please give them a talent of silver and two sets of clothing. By all means, take two talents, said Naaman. He urged Gehazi to accept them, and then tied up the two talents of silver in two bags with two sets of clothing. He gave them to two of his servants, and they carried them ahead of Gehazi. When Gehazi came to the hill, he took the things from the servants and put them away in the house. He sent the men away and they left. Then he went in and stood before his master Elisha. Where have you been? Gehazi asked Elisha. Where have you been, Gehazi? Elisha asked. Your servant did not go anywhere, Gehazi answered. But Elisha said to him, was not my spirit with you when the man got down from his chariot to meet you? Is this the time to take money or to accept clothes, olive groves, vineyards, flocks, herds, or men servants and men servants? Naaman, leprosy will cleanse to you and to your descendants forever. Then Gehazi went from Elisha's presence, and he was leprous, as white as snow. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for your goodness and your faithfulness. We come before you in the name of Jesus. Lord, anoint this time, anoint my lips, anoint your word that you are sending to us, to your church, to encourage us, to teach us your ways, to help us to evangelize, O Lord, to use the gift of miracles, the gift of healing, and that your word will be proclaimed to many nations, O God, that it will be known to others, Lord. You promise that you will work with us and you will help us. We do pray, O Lord, you enable us by giving us the gift of healings, and direct us to the people that you want us to evangelize, and also direct them to us. Lord, help us and guide us, O God. Lord, I pray that this message will help those who listen to it. They will raise up to serve you wholeheartedly and apply it in their life. Lord, you send us a message for a purpose and for fruit that you desire to see in your life and your church. Let your purpose prevail and harvest the fruit of righteousness of new servants and workers in your church, in your vineyard. We thank you, Lord. We bless you. This is all we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. There are points we learn from this scripture. The first point is that we must know that God loves the Gentiles, And here in the healing of Naaman from leprosy, God extend his salvation to other nations. Always as a church, we need to persevere with the Lord. And we need to understand that God wants to reach other nations, other nationalities, other people in other countries. Naaman was not part of Israel, but God wants to reach him with the message of salvation. We need to understand that the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is not only for us, we who are inside the church, but for the other nations, for those Gentiles, for the non-believers. God had a great desire to reach them. And how it comes to the mind of anyone that God wants to reach? Naaman, who invaded Israel and he took captive, but God had called him for salvation. God had called Saul, and even he was destroying the church. God called him to be saved. God revealed himself to him. Here, God gives the gift of healing to his church to be used to heal the sick in order to make the message of God proclaimed to others and make them believe. You know, in the miracle that had happened through the healing that God offered to Naaman, the gift of healing, God make his message proclaimed to Naaman in the same way. When the Lord do healing, the purpose of healing is not only to heal, but the purpose of healing, the purpose of raising from the dead, is to make his message proclaimed and that people will believe. In the book of John, when the Lord was faced with the death of Lazarus, he prayed to the Lord. He prayed to God the Father the following in John chapter 11 verse 41 and 42. Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I say this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. The Lord was praying that Elijah will be raised from the dead, so the people will believe, not only in God, they will believe that Jesus was sent by God the Father. You know, always when the Lord do the miracle, he do it for a purpose. In the book of also in the book of John chapter 9, when the Lord healed the man who was blind, you know, his disciples, they were asking, who is the one who sent his parent or the person himself? Let's read John chapter 9, verse 1 to 3. As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus, but this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. So here, the miracles of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, are one of the ways of God to display his work in the life of the people, so that they will believe. We learn that also from the story that we have heard about the healing of Naaman. You know, this woman was taken captive, this woman Israelite, and she became a servant of the wife of Naaman, and she proclaimed that there is a prophet in Israel and he can heal by the gift of healing that God gave him. So we need to proclaim the message. We need to invite the people. We should have faith in God. We should have faith that when the church pray, there'll be healing. We should have boldness to evangelize. We should not be ashamed to speak about our Lord. We should not be ashamed to speak that we are a follower of the Why even we are despising this world, even we are we are captive or what I don't mean captive, but in whatever situation that we are in, or even we are under non-believers' authorities, we should not be ashamed to proclaim the gospel. The fourth point that we want to emphasize here also, Lord, here about the Lord, the work of God, we cannot predict it. How the Lord have reached Naaman, and they invaded Israel, and the girl was taken captive, and the same girl was used as a servant there, and the same girl, she proclaimed the message to the wife of Naaman, and Naaman was sent by the king of Aram to the king of Israel, and finally he find his way that he need to go to the prophet Elijah. Now this scenario is something, sometimes it is difficult to predict, but we need to believe that God can work in such a way. God working in ways we cannot see, we cannot fathom, we cannot understand, but when we see God is moving, we need to believe and accept that he is moving in our midst, and we should act accordingly to preach the message. When Naaman was sent to the king of Israel, the king of Israel, he said, "Am I God?" And he was upset because he was asked to heal this man, and it seems that the king of Israel, he should be a believer, he should be a man of a prayer, and he should pray for him in the name of the Lord to be healed, but as if he behaved as non-believers, and unfortunately and sadly to say that many believers, when they come to know there's a sicknesses, they will keep it quiet. They will first they will tell you, go to doctor, you go to the hospital, there's a good medicine, but they will not speak at that the Lord can heal. Although the king of Israel, he say, am I God? Yes, you are not God, but God give his church the gift of healing. And here the prophet Elijah, when he hear about it, let's read let's read what Elijah sent message to the king of Israel. When Elijah, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his robes, he sent him this message: "Why have you torn your robes? Have the man come to me, and he will know that there is a prophet in Israel." Elijah is a man who say, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel. We should not be ashamed. We say, well, let's pray. God can heal. You will lay hands because God told us when you lay hands, there will be healing. We are not saying that every time we put our hand, there must be healing. But what we say, well, every time we put our hand, there is something God is doing as we obey him as a church. Amen. We need to pray. Cancer, you pray. Stone, pray. Burn, you pray for healing. Leprosy, you pray. Somebody went to all doctors and he went to all pharmacies, you pray. We need, as a church, we ourselves, we need to believe that God can heal, and we need to proclaim the message to the people. We should not keep quiet, as Elijah was so bold and frank. Send a man to me. Then he will know there is a prophet in Israel. Let him know that there will be a God who can heal, the God of Israel. Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. He is the God, the creator of heaven and earth. And he can heal. The next point, we must know that God made the gift of healing that he gives to the church known to others to attract them to him to be saved and become part of his church. You know, the girl, she proclaimed that there's a healing there to a prophet in Samaria. You know, when the Lord Jesus Christ, he was healing in Matthew chapter 4, when he moved around and he was healing the sick, verse 23 to 25, we can read the following. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them. Large crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region across the Jordan followed him. You see here, the Lord was healing. A news spread about him. God himself will make a news spread about the gift of healing that he gave to his church, to his people, and he will be the one to attract the people to come to him, not only to be healed but to be saved, as had happened with Naaman. Next point we learn from the story of Naaman: Elijah acted in the right way with Naaman to give him the right message to repent and to be saved. When Naaman reached Elijah, he was expecting that Elijah will go outside and meet him and give him the prestige and the honor. But let's read what Elijah did. Elijah sent a messenger to say to him, "Go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be cleansed." That is the message that Elisha sent to Naaman. He did not go out to meet him. He did not shake hands with him. And Naaman was expecting some honor and prestige from Elijah. Naaman was angry, you know, in verse 11 to verse 12, we can read the following. But Naaman went away angry and said, "I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand over the spot and cure me of my leprosy. Are not Abana and Farfur, the rivers of Damascus, better than any of the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed?" So he turned and went off in rage. You know, the sin of Naaman is a pride. He was a valiant soldier, he had victories, and he had a lot of things, and pride was controlling him. Pride was his sin and his cause of leprosy. And Elijah discerned it and handled it in a proper way. He did not show attention to Naaman, but he gave him the way to be healed. "Go dip yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and you will be well." He did not give him the prestige, he did not make his head big, yeah, an honor, because that is sin. He will be more leprous. We must know how to handle the gift of when the Lord is healing people. We should know how to act wisely so that we will lead them to repentance of their sin. And what Elijah did was the right things. Naaman reacted and he wanted to go back. But finally, no, Naaman realized and was convinced to humble down before God and before his servant Elijah to be cured finally. You know, God used his servant, Naaman's servant. We need to do our part. Oh, he will be angry, he will go away, and what he will say about us, we have to go out and meet him. No, we need to do what God wants us to do. It might look strange, you know, Naaman is coming and he is the one who invited all Israel, and Elijah should go outside, at least shake hands with him and meet him. But God put in his heart not to meet him, just to give him the message. That was his medicine. He reacted, but God worked through that rebuke that Elisha sent. It was like insult, but that's what he need. Verse 13 and 14, we can read from 2 Kings chapter 5. Naaman's servant went to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more then, when he tells you, wash and be cleansed?" So he went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times as the man of God had told him, and his flesh was restored and became clean like that of a young boy. You know, that is the way of God. There's gift of healing, but we need to use it in a proper setup in the right way. Jesus in the same way healed the servant of the centurion who approached Jesus with a humility. The centurion is non-believer and his servant is non-believer, but the centurion, he was not like Naaman. He approached the Lord with humility. Matthew chapter 8 verse 5 and 9 we can read about that. When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, asked for help. "Lord," he said, "my servant lies at home, paralyzed and in a terrible suffering." Jesus said to him, "I will go and heal him." The centurion replied, "Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself, I am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he come. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it." So here this man, he is humbling himself. You know, the Lord does not need to humble him. He is humbling down. When Jesus heard this, he was astonished and said to those following him, "I tell you the truth, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith." You know, and then finally, the Lord in verse 13, then Jesus said to the centurion, "Go, it will be done just as you believe it. It would." And his servant was healed at that very hour. So here we need to discern how to evangelize while God is healing, how we can apply the teaching of the Lord with the gift of healing that he gave to the church, that he is healing in the middle of us. Sometimes we need to lay hands, sometimes we need to touch with oil, sometimes we need to rebuke and God will heal. That is how God is moving and how the Lord give us discernment how to evangelize. The next point, the miracles of God that the Lord is doing reveal that he is the only true God. You know, Naaman, after he was healed, he said, "Now I know that there is no God in all the world except in Israel." And he realized very well, possibly, most likely, he tried everywhere. He's the commander, he's the leader, and sure, he was trying here and there, but it did not work. So when he came to the Lord, and the Lord healed him, he realized there is no God in all the world except in Israel. He realized the true God. And further, he committed himself, you know, when he say to Elijah in verse 17-18, he told him, "For your servant will never again make burnt offerings and sacrifices to any other God but the Lord." He told him, "I will not sacrifice to other gods or give burnt offering to other gods, but I will give my life fully to the Lord." And in verse 13, "But may the Lord forgive your servant for this one thing. When my master enters the temple of Rimmon to bow down, and he is leaning on my arm, and I bow there also, when I bow down in the temple of Rimmon, may the Lord forgive your servant for this." So he is now, his conscience also stricken that he cannot bow to any other god. But here he is asking permission that while I am on duty and my master will go inside to bow down, I will bow down not for the god, but I will bow down as doing my work so that my boss can lean on my self and worship his god. But I am the true worshiper of the Lord Jesus Christ. So here there is the miracle of God should lead the people that the Lord is the only true God, and they need to keep commitment to him. And that is how we disciple the people, is very important. When Elisha allowed the healing of God to be conducted through discipline, through correction, and through a rebuke, Naaman understand that he need to keep commitment to the Lord God. Further point that we learn from this miracle: the miracle of God should not be done in exchange of money. Elisha made this message very clear to Naaman when he refused to take from him any gift. The prophet answered in verse 16, "As surely as the Lord lives, whom I serve, I will not accept a thing." And when, and even though Naaman urged him, he refused. Elijah did not receive any gift because Naaman was an influential and powerful man. Elisha wanted to teach him humility and wanted to realize that Elijah was depending on God for his living, and by no way richness of the world will influence him. Certain time, when we reach rich people and preach the gospel to them, we might need to refrain from taking gifts from them, to let them know, to let them humble down, and to let them know that their riches will not influence us to compromise with them. Paul, he did the same way with the Corinthian church. Paul refused to take financial support from the church at Corinth for a certain period of time to humble them. You know, he told them in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 7 and 8, he told them the following: "Was it a sin for me to lower myself in order to elevate you by preaching the gospel of God to you freely of church? I robbed other churches by receiving support from them so as to save you." The church at Corinth, the people at Corinth, they were rich people, and Paul was afraid that that would make them more boastful on him. They were boasting, and the more they would be boasting over Paul if he would receive money from them. So we need to be discerning that if the gift will that the people offer us will make them understand that they can manipulate us, that they would for us and corner us to compromise with them, we should be refrain from taking gifts. We should be willing to humble down if somebody wants to bless us, but as long as the Holy Spirit is agreeing and directing us to take that gift. Otherwise, we must be discerning like Elisha, who refused to take the gift, so that the faith of Naaman will be directed and strengthened in the right way. The next point that we want to emphasize: the miracle of God should not be used as a source of income, and the ministry of the Lord, the ministry of healing and healing the sick, should not be used to make money. You know, the Lord gives the gift of healing to preach his word and to proclaim his salvation, and not for taking gifts and take advantage of people. You know, some people, they will start to boast because they have gift. They will use this gift to make money. They will collect money because this gift of healing, and we want money, God heal you, and your money will be using it to reach other people. That is not the way God wants us to act. Gehazi wanted to be smart and use the opportunity to become rich from the healing of Naaman. He, you know what he did? He invented a story and he told a lie in order to justify why he is asking for gifts from Naaman. You know, when he went to Naaman, he told him in verse 22, my master sent me to say, two young men from the company of the prophets have just come to me from the hill country of Ephraim. Please give them a talent of silver and two sets of clothing. Many people, they use lies and stories, convinced rich people to give them money in the name of the Lord. I want to make it very clear. What is allocated to the church is the first fruits, the tithes, and the offerings of the disciple who are disciplined by the word of God. We cannot go and ask gifts, donations, money, first fruit tithes, and offering from people, not our disciples, that we had not labored or we are not feeding them the word of God. Otherwise, if the church today or those who serve God behaves like Gehazi, then that is not the way that God wants us to behave. The grace of God, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the miracles that God gives to His church in order that the message will be declared, in order that God will attract the non-believers to come to Him and to commit their life to serve Him. The gift of miracles is not to make money or to make a business to become rich. If any one of you who listen to me behave like Gehazi, then let it be known to you and to that particular person who take advantage of the miracles and the work of God. Naaman's leprosy will cleanse to you. This is what Elisha said to his servant Gehazi, and this is what I say also. Don't take advantage of the ministry. Don't use the ministry in order to become rich or to get resources from the people. Our Lord Jesus Christ recommend the healing of Naaman by the prophet Elisha. In Luke chapter 4:27, the Lord says, and there were many in Israel with leprosy in the time of Elisha the prophet, yet not one of them was cleansed, only Naaman the Syrian. Therefore, we need to abide with the principles that we just discussed, and the word of God instructed us from the chosen passage, 2 Kings chapter 5. We learn good things, and I trust the Lord that as you hear the message, you learn good things, and the message is an encouraging message to me, to the church, to you who hear, so that we can go forward. The Lord is reaching a new people. The Lord is reaching in a new nation, and God wants us to go forward and save Him wholeheartedly. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this time. I thank you for your word. I come before you in the name of Jesus. Lord, thank you for the gift of salvation, for the eternal life that I have in you. And thank you for the word that opened my mind clearly and make me understand your will and the way to serve you, Lord. And thank you for the gift of miracle. Lord, I pray you give me this gift of healing, oh God, to be used for your glory alone. And I pray for those who have committed their life fully unto you, Lord. Give them the gift of healings and miracles and wonders, so that your message will be preached and many they will commit their lives unto you to abide with your will and your plan. Lord, I abide, telling God, I abide with the word of yours and with your ways, oh God. Not my own ways, your ways, oh God. Lord, help me to persevere, oh God, to apply what your word instructs me. Oh God, I pray for everyone who prayed this prayer from his heart. in the name of Jesus, enable him, use him much as you use Elisha. And I pray for those persons who are taking advantage, like Gehazi. Let the leprosy of Naaman cleanse to them so they will repent, oh God. I do pray for those who are making money in the body of Christ, taking advantage, Lord, and using the gift that you give to your church to evangelize. I pray in the name of Jesus, rebuke them, correct them, so they will repent. Oh Lord, take this message, make it spread, and reach those who need to hear it, oh God, so lives will be changed, servants will be raised up, Lord, to save you, oh God. Lord, bless your church, bless your servant, bless everyone who set his heart to save you. Oh God, bless us, enlarge our territory, Lord, let your hands be with us, and keep us from harm, so that we will not feel pain. May the grace of the Lord Jesus, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. In Jesus' name, Amen and Amen.